Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Stone Chapel, a podcast of the staff and friends of the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. My name is David Capes. I'm the Senior Research Fellow at the Library and your host for this series of podcasts. Our purpose is fairly simple. We want to bring to you great conversations with leading experts from around the world on biblical, theological, historical, and archaeological themes. Well, the list goes on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Joining me today on the Stone Chapel is Phil Keggy. He's an extraordinary musician. He's a concert artist. He's a songwriter. He's a performer, legendary guitarist. Routinely, his fingers violate the laws of physics, and some even say that they approach the speed of light. Now, that some person is me, but that's a bit of an exaggeration, I think. But Phil, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, David. It's great to be with you, and thanks for admitting your exaggeration.
Well, that would be hard, the speed of light, but certainly extremely quick.
I have quick moments, but, you know, they're not as quick as it used to be, but they're more thoughtful.
Yeah.
My phrases are more thoughtful than they used to be when I was younger.
Well, we all slow down a little bit over time. You know, after 25, we all slow down a little bit, right?
Yeah, and I just turned 70 last March.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's
I know, it's kind of, I have to pinch myself. Is that really true?
Yeah, you don't feel that way, do you? You don't look that way. I mean,
no.
Come on.
Well, you know, I do have my gray hair, and but it's there on the sides, not much on the top.
but I'm
grateful for what I have.
I know
I'm grateful for my hands, my fingers, my legs. I'm grateful I can walk. I'm grateful to have breath in my lungs, and even more grateful to have a wonderful wife who's been by my side for 48 years.
That's Bernadette, wife Bernadette.
Yeah, she is. She's a sweetie. And we have three grown kids. Two of them are married, and we've become grandparents. And so that's a great part of life right now.
And they live close as well.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
It's great to be able to see them on a regular basis.
We do. We see them at least, the kids, twice a week. And we have a third baby boy grandson coming in February.
Oh, man,
and,
that's exciting.
Our son Ian and his wife. Yeah, so we're going to have a little Keggy boy carry on the name.
A little Keggy boy.
Yeah.
That's great.
The oldest living Keggy is Uncle Duke out in Arizona. He's 95 and in good health. And then little Noah James Keggy coming in February.
So you'll have almost a century of Keggy's right there.
Right there, uh-huh.
Well, hopefully you can get a photograph with all of them together one day and just say, look at the century. Here's a century of Keggy's here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the occasion of our conversation today is the eve of Mark Lanier's birthday, and later on you're going to sing a little song for him, and number of birthday, how many he's had, is a closely guarded state secret, so I can't divulge that at this point. I got just a few questions for us to chat about today, Phil, about you and your life and your work, and thanks for introducing us a bit to your family. You know, that sort of part of your life, but there's another important part of your life that as a musician, as a songwriter, as a Christian, as a witness, and that's extremely important. But let me begin with this. I read an article the other day from a journalist, and I didn't realize this, but he mentioned that it was the 50th anniversary of the premiere on Broadway of Jesus Christ Superstar. And in that article, he said that the genesis, or I don't think maybe he used the word springboard, of the Jesus music movement and what becomes contemporary Christian music really had its location there. And as a musician, I would be interested in your thoughts on that.
Well, as I recall, you know, I bought the album in 1971. I was 20 years old at the time, and I thought it was an interesting album, and I knew it was a Broadway thing and all that stuff. But I'd been a Christian already for a year, and the actual beginnings of what they call Jesus music really happened all over the country at the same time, perhaps in 69, 1970, you know, in some people's lives, 1967, 68, you know.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. It didn't begin on Broadway, and it didn't begin in 1971. I mean, the Lord was moving by His Spirit throughout the whole country, and it was a beautiful time. It was a time where young people were searching for the truth and looking for peace. I was one of those people, and I found it through Jesus, you know, and God came to my life, the power of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit, and I began to meet other musicians in my travels, because I was in a rock band at the time called Glass Harp. And even our first album in 1970, which was recorded in New York City at Electric Lady Studios, I sang of the Son of God who died for us, you know. And that was, we recorded that, I think, August, September 1970. So, and so I was quite keen when I saw Jesus Christ Superstar, you know. I was more keen on the name of Jesus Christ than I was a superstar.
That yeah, part. Yeah.
You know, but I really admired the quality and the production of the music and everything, but I'm not sure, you know, it completely lined up with Scripture from what I recall, because I was really getting into the Word of God a lot, especially as a youngster, you know, but I read it every day, but still those were the beginning days of discovering the truth of God's Word, and the true message of Jesus is in the Bible. So,
yeah.
As I recall, there was
no resurrection scene at all in the original. I think it was just the.
Okay.
I don't think there was a resurrection scene. So, I mean, I may be wrong about that, and people can write in and tell me if I am. But I don't have the album anymore. I don't know where it went. Short and all of my moves, it's gone somewhere.
Yeah, I remember the cover though. The cover was really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and some of the music was fairly memorable, right? I mean, some of the music was pretty memorable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was done exquisitely. It was great production, great vocals, great songwriting. Of course it was.
Yeah.
But there was another play that came out called Godspell, and we went to see it in on Broadway.
That's right.
Around 71.
That's right.
And there was a resurrection scene in that one play.
Yeah. Did you ever play any of those songs back in the day? Did anybody ever have you, you know, play along as a, you know, musician on any of those?
Those songs?
Yeah, those songs or anything.
No, I was playing, I was writing my own songs, and then I was doing concerts with the likes of Randy Stonehill, Larry Norman, and I toured with Love Song, Tommy Coombs, Chuck Gerrard, Jay Turex, John Mailer. Back in 1973, right after Bernadette and I got married, we went on tour together. I was their guitarist. Then eventually I met the Second Chapter of Acts folks, and I toured with them and recorded on their albums. And then I met Keith Green, and he taught me the song Your Love Broke Through, which I recorded then in 1976.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it's really that, you know, I met so many wonderful brothers and sisters who were players, musicians, songwriters, singers. And we were, our main emphasis was, in those days, we didn't know anything about the business of Christian music. It was just proclaiming the gospel through our songs and evangelizing, you know, just bringing the good news to other people who are looking for answers in their lives, you know.
Well, what about today? Tell us a little bit about the music that you're making today, writing, performing, recording, as an independent artist.
Well, I, you know, I'd been with record labels throughout, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and then early 2000, I became independent again, and that means unsigned by a record label. So I've got my own little imprint, and it's called Strobe Records, and I call it Strobe because my dad used to say to me when I was a kid playing the guitar, he'd say, "Hey, Petey," call me Petey. "Hey, play me some of that Strobe." So I get my guitar out and play little fancy stuff for him and make him smile. He loved it.
That's cool.
So, but what I'm doing these days, I've got a collection of vocal songs in the wings waiting to be released that I'm really happy about. And then I've done a lot of instrumental work, you know, like with Jeff Johnson. We've got a new album called Ravenna. Mm-hmm. I've got I'm a part of a quartet called Music Tellers. That's music that is spontaneously created with cello, guitar, woodwinds, keys, and percussion.
Wow. It's just improvisation at that point? You just come in and this is the key of G or kind of stuff or whatever?
We just say what key, and then we go, you know, and it's beautiful. It's it's really a wonderful dynamic way to create music. It's free form, but it's beautiful. And then I did a new album with some friends out in California, and it's called Band of Brothers. That's with John Walquist and Ragnar Rosencrantz, and then drummer Steve Brewster and myself. And that's a really nice album. And what else? I did an album a couple years ago with Rex Paul, and it's called Illumination, and it's a real electric-driven music, album of new songs and some old songs that I'd done in the early days. We redid them. I like that album a lot, too. But so I've been keeping busy. I just got done producing co-producing with my niece, Sherry Keggy, a brand new album of hers, which will be out very soon, and it's called What I Know to Be True. Beautiful album. So I've done that. So I keep busy in the studio doing guitar sessions for others, too. I like doing sessions as well.
Yeah. Well, it's...
But I've got this Bandcamp site, David, and it's called Keggy's Garage.
I know. I know about that. Yeah. Tell us about that.
There's a lot of stuff there. Yeah. So just a lot of my music there. Live stuff, studio stuff, independent stuff, backroom tracks, instrumental vocal collaborations. Lots of fun. Lots of music. Lots of gospel, too. Well, you can download and purchase individual projects,
Right.
Or you could do a subscribe for them on a monthly fee. Or you could stream it without paying a thing. You can listen to the music if you want to.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Which I think is beautiful. So, but then some people want to download the larger files, the WAV files, not just listen to the MP3s. And they can make their own compilation if they want,
So that's called Keggy's Garage. They can just Google, and Keggy's Keaggy, Keggy's Garage.
Right. Or go philkeggy.bandcamp, It'll get you there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now you and Bernadette have been involved for years with Compassion International. And I know you've done some music with them, and maybe for them, a concert. I don't remember exactly. I'm going back into the recesses of my mind. But at any rate, tell us a little bit about your involvement with Compassion International and why.
Well, I was invited by a good friend, LaRue Anderson, who worked with Compassion in the early 80s. And it was just a beautiful way of being able to share in the life of a child and bring in education and food and care and just bring some hope to these youngsters in other countries. And so LaRue invited me and Bernadette to go to Haiti, and we visited a child that we began to sponsor there.
Wow.
And then we sponsored another child. And then over the years, well, we still sponsor a child. One just kind of graduated right now.
Yeah.
But we've been sponsoring children through Food for the Hungry as well as Compassion. They have a great program, and many artists would represent Compassion. In fact, I met a young lady who was sponsored at one of my concerts through a couple that sponsored her. She's from the Philippines, and I got to meet her, and I think her name was Michelle. Michelle was her name. She wasn't my sponsor child, but someone sponsored her at one of my concerts, and she had tears in her eyes. And she said, "Thank you so much. My life has been changed because of that, and one of my good comrades, that's Randy Stonehill. He's been a great strong voice for the children. We sang a song of his together in other countries called Who Will Save the Children.
And you maybe can that's find what that I was song. Thinking of.
Yes, it's a wonderful song, and I still do it at concerts, and so we still believe in Compassion and the wonderful work they're doing around the world.
It's a great organization. I have lots of friends who are involved in that, and it is such a worthy endeavor. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to sing a song for Mark and his birthday.
Okay.
But before I do, I need to ask you a cheesy musician question. Okay. Now I know there's going to be musicians that hear, Phil Keggy, I want to know what he has to say. So here's the scenario. You and Bernadette are stranded on a desert island. You have one acoustic, one electric, an amp, and a solar power generator. So what would you want with you?
What would I want with me?
Yeah. You can have one acoustic, one electric, one amp.
Okay. I would have my acoustic.
Okay.
My Olsen guitar, but on the other hand, the wind would really beat it up, so I'd probably take something that could handle it. What do they call them? Wind song guitars?
I don't know. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of them?
I haven't.
Of some sort of, yeah, they're made of a material that can endure the weather and the
oh, really?
The wet.
Okay.
So I'd probably, if I was on a desert island, well, I'd make sure Bernadette's with me because she'd take good care of me.
Well, that's right. Yeah, she's with you. You gotta have that.
So, David, you're asking me, okay, take an acoustic, and then I have to pick an electric,
You have to
right?
pick an electric, right? Yeah.
I'd probably have my Zion guitar, my white Zion I've had since 1986, even though
really?
Oftentimes people think of me with the Les Paul, but
right.
the Zion is a beautiful sounding guitar, and it plays so lovely, and it's lighter.
Yeah.
You know, that's a factor.
Yeah, yeah. Les Paul's pretty heavy.
And and then probably just a little, you know, a small little 112 amp, you know, with reverb, maybe a little Fender Princeton or a Deluxe Reverb or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have my Vox, that would definitely give it more impact. But
yeah.
I don't know. I really don't think about being on a desert island. David,
I know. I'm just playing with you. I'm just curious what you find to be your favorite guitars to play right at this point in time. Yeah, that's a great answer because I don't know the Zion guitar. Maybe I've seen it. I'm sure in pictures or something. But
well, they were quite popular through the 80s and the 90s, and they made one for me back in 86.
Oh, they did. Oh, okay. So they made one just for you.
Yeah, it was just for me. And then they were going to make a Phil Keaggy model, but it wasn't the same guitar, so I didn't quite go for that one. But this one is just it's a great guitar. And but still, I love playing the acoustic because you don't need electricity with an acoustic guitar.
Right.
That's for sure.
And when you go to concerts now, do you take your acoustic or your electric?
When I do solo, it's just my acoustic. That's all.
That's what I mean, solo.
I travel with one guitar and that's it. But if we're doing a drive date, I'll take two acoustics. And if I'm doing a band drive date, I'll take obviously my acoustic and an electric or two.
So, and in those concerts, it, I've heard a number of concerts you do. It's just amazing the sound and the rhythms that you get out of an acoustic guitar. It sounds like a whole orchestra a lot of times. And it's just phenomenal. So we really encourage people to check out. If they don't know Phil Keaggy, and we have people who listen to this podcast on four continents. So if they haven't heard of Phil Keaggy, just go to the internet and check out Keaggy's Garage. And Keaggy, what was the other one more time? Band?
It's Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. Uh-huh. Okay, Keaggy's Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I have a website, philkeaggy.com, and that will take you to the Bandcamp too, the garage. And the main thing is, you know, God put music in our lives, and he's so good to us, you know, and allowing us to create and make music and lift hearts, and that's what I aim to do in my concerts when I do play. I don't play out as much as I used to, and as the future unfolds, it'll be less and less. But I love sharing the good news of Jesus, you know, and his love for us. I believe in the gospel. It's the best news. It's the good news. And God loves us, you know, and he showed us his love through his son dying for our sins. And that's what really drives me to be able to do what I do, knowing that someone's going to be touched. Somebody's life is going to be changed, not because of what I do, but because we invite the presence of the Lord in these concerts. And we ask that the Lord touches hearts and encourages people in the times we live in, for sure.
Yeah. And boy, we need that more than ever, it seems like to me, Phil.
Yes, David. Absolutely.
Let's sing a song. No, I'm not going to sing with you. You sing a song to a happy birthday to Mark Lanier on this undisclosed holiday.
He's one of the best guys I know. He's a blessing. You know, he's a real, he loves the Lord. He loves to teach people about God's word and history. And he's become a great friend, both he and Becky, his wife, over the years. And this is not an original song, but I'll put my heart into it, okay?
But there's an original twist at the very end, right?
It's not. It's sort of. Yes, it is. It's sort of. Because Because Mark is still brainy, you know. He's a very smart guy.
Yes.
With a big heart, big heart. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mark Lanier. Oh, still brainy after all
That's fantastic, Phil. Thanks so much. And thanks for being with us today here on the Stone Chapel. And we look forward to all the music that you're going to continue to make.
I appreciate it, David. Thanks for putting up with, you know, the early morning, and just got in from Colorado late last night. And so I'm still foggy after all these hours.
Still foggy after all that travel. I understand that for sure. Yeah. All right, my friend, we will see you again, God willing, soon. Blessings.
God bless you, and many, many, many happy birthdays to Mark, and to love to all the family.
Thanks to Brent Johnson and Janet Seifert for editing these podcasts. Thanks as well to Phil Keggy for our music. These podcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mark and Becky Lanier and the Lanier Theological Library Foundation. If you have questions, comments, or would just like to be in touch, please email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is L-A-N-I-E-R. Thanks for listening.